And we're back. Welcome to hour two of the Tuesday Morning Special Blend, or hour two and a half of the Tuesday Morning Special Blend. My name is Mike Powell. Usually in this part of the show, we switch to music, but today we're joined by Mr. Michael Byers, who's the author of Intent for a Nation and a professor of international politics at the University of British Columbia. Good morning, Mr. Byers.
Good morning.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the book?
Well, this book is a direct response to a very famous book that was written in 1965 by a man named George Grant. And that book was entitled A Lament for a Nation. And in his book, Professor Grant argued that Canada, as an independent country, had ceased to exist. Well, I actually bought into Professor Grant's thesis, as did many Canadians of my generation, same generation as our current Prime Minister. We simply assumed that on the really big issues of the day, Canada was destined to follow along in the slipstream of the United States. And I actually left Canada for 12 years. I lived in the United Kingdom and then in North Carolina in the United States. And in 2003, I looked at what was happening in Canada and saw Jean Chrétien say no to the Iraq War, a really big ask from an American president. And this made me think that perhaps Professor Grant's thesis wasn't as solid as I had thought. And I decided at that point to move home, to move back to Canada, to Vancouver, and to try to figure out what was going on with my country. And this is my coming home book.
Now, the interesting thing about your comparison to Grant is that he was sort of a pessimist and sort of saw Canada as the way it used to be, small town and populist. And you, like, claimed, or your book, as you say at the beginning, that you're relentlessly optimistic. I think that's even the subtitle. But you also sort of speak to a Canada that's more cosmopolitan and urban and sees people active and doing things and sort of the way we like to be now or like to think of ourselves now.
Well, a lot has happened in the last four decades.
Yeah.
This country has become much more international in its composition. I live in a fabulously international city. Indeed, Caucasians like myself will be in a minority in Vancouver within the next 5 or 6 years, and I think that's wonderful. So a lot has changed. One of the things that's changed is that Canada, despite us not realizing it, has become a powerful country. We have the eighth largest economy on the planet. We have the capacity, because of our natural resources, our domestic harmony, to do great things. And yet we, over the course of the last couple of decades, have tended to punch below our weight. And what I'm trying to do in this book is first of all, explain why I think Grant was wrong, why Canada is still an independent country, and then lay out a progressive foreign policy agenda for what a Canada that wanted to matter, what it could actually do to improve the lot of humanity.
And what are some of those things?
Well, the most striking example is the crisis involving climate change. I spend a lot of time in the Canadian Arctic. One of the things I work on is the issue of Arctic sovereignty, and I have seen with my own eyes a totally ice-free Northwest Passage. The Arctic is at the front line of climate change. The rate of climate change is more accelerated in that region than anywhere else on Earth. And 40% of Canada is in the Arctic. And here we are, a phenomenally wealthy country, a well-educated population, with the capacity to take some risks in terms of our economic future. And I think that puts us in a position to actually be a significant role model on climate change, to demonstrate how a wealthy industrialized economy can move through the next industrial revolution and not just meet our Kyoto Protocol commitments, but to actually go 30 or 40% lower than that, to show the way to other countries, not because we're going to wait for other countries to agree, but simply because we're going to do the right thing as an example for others.
At the same time, though, there's other countries in similar sort of industrialized positions, Germany, most of the EU, that have taken action on something like climate change. And yet, why do you think we sort of step back and haven't gone up to the plate yet?
Well, I think the big reason is that our American friends have been dragging their heels on climate change. And people like Mr. Harper, who've bought into George Grant's thesis, assume that what the United States chooses to do is almost necessarily the choice for Canada. And they would argue that, well, look, we're in a North American energy market. We can't risk taking the economic downside of becoming less competitive vis-a-vis the United States. You get all these kinds of arguments, and my response in this book is, look, we're actually a pretty important country. In our own right, the United States depends on us as much as we do on them. We are, incidentally, their largest trading partner, not just the other way around. And I don't suggest that we should be disagreeable. This is not an anti-American book in any way. It's a pro-Canadian book. It's saying, look, we should make our own analyses of different situations concerning foreign policy. We should make our own choices. 95% of the time, that will involve cooperating with our allies. And 5% of the time, it will involve charting a different course.
So much of the book, I mean, the way it's set up is that there's issues, be it climate change or the war in Afghanistan, and you show a way in which Canada can be a global citizen. And it seems to me that historically, when we sort of take on these challenges, be it the 0.07 foreign aid commitment or eradicating child poverty by the millennium, I think, we sort of step back. So even when we have these high dreams, it's not something that's been going on for a while. We've made commitments before and made the efforts to make them before, but we always seem to fall back on the same trap. Do you see things changing, or?
Well, I think we're in a difficult period right now because we have a prime minister and a government who clearly do not believe in an independent, progressive foreign policy agenda for this country, and I give you all sorts of examples of that. But over the course of the last few decades, episodically, we've showed the kind of commitment that I would want to see more consistently. So take the championing of the Ottawa Landmines Convention or our support for the International Criminal Court. We can do it. We can actually make a difference. We can take some chances. And I'm just simply saying, look, the fact that we've proven we can should actually make us bolder in terms of trying to do it more often. A famous rock star said that the world needs more Canadas. I think he meant the kind of Canada that I'm advocating, and not the kind of Canada that drags behind, that follows more powerful countries like the United States. And speaking of global citizenship, this book is in part about my students at UBC and the students I meet across this country who do have a great deal of idealism, who want to make a difference, who believe in the future of their country. And I'm simply expanding that idea of individual global citizenship to a conception of an entire country as a global citizen. I think we're in a position where we could think of Canada as a global citizen and set ourselves the mission of making this country not just a comfortable place in which to live, but a country that makes a positive difference for human beings everywhere.
So it's not sufficient for us as a country to be satisfied with being a comfortable place to live with clean streets and that. We have to go on that sort of mission elsewhere as well.
I don't want to live in a gated community of a country. I believe that that first of all, that's morally inappropriate, and secondly, I do take the long-term view that taking proactive steps to reduce misery elsewhere and to help the rest of the world deal with global challenges is in our long-term interest. Gated communities are fine for the short term, but in the long term, the outside world does come back at you.
You mentioned your students, but one of the things you talk about certainly in the conclusion is that the sort of the role of the individual, and that even forgetting the nation as an example, that you can have, I mean, you use an example of one of your students that saw aid recommitted just by calling enough people and asking questions. Do you think that there's more, that it starts with individuals like that to see that sort of change, or do people follow the government?
I think governments follow public opinion, especially in situations of minority governments like the one we have now. And I give a number of examples of how individual Canadians, by rolling up their sleeves and working hard on particular issues, can cause shifts in policy in terms of the foreign policy of an entire country. And the one example I give you of a young student from Newfoundland called Matthew Gillard, he decided to track down a report of $20 million that the Paul Martin government was going to give to the African Union in Darfur, and phoned dozens upon dozens of civil servants in Ottawa, eventually phoned the Canadian High Commission in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, Ethiopia, and eventually discovered that the government had decided not to give the $20 million. But then, because they'd been receiving so many phone calls, his phone calls, the government changed its mind. One person can make an enormous difference. A whole country could make a difference that would be stunning beyond our wildest dreams.
And so the book is available in bookstores now?
Absolutely. I assume it's available in the Carleton University bookstore, and if not, it's certainly on Amazon.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. The book is Intent for a Nation. The author is Michael Byers. And we'll be back in just 1 second.